walk humbly with thy God. This verse clearly explains what God truly wants from us, not complicated rules or rituals, but how we live our everyday lives. God calls us to act justly by doing what is right, to love mercy by showing kindness and forgiveness, and to walk humbly by recognizing that we depend on Him. It remains us that faith is shown through our actions and our attitude towards others.
Can I have Jason Berger be the for the second reading?
What does God count and call by their names? His people, The angels are the stars. What does God count and call by their names? How many think his people? He calls his people? Everybody? Good. How about angels? He calls angels. How about his stars? Yeah, look at the hands. Imagine our Father who art in heaven counts the stars by their name. How great is that, right? That's our God. That's how great he is, that he can count the stars. I love that. I got a math quiz. Anybody good at math? Let's see. We got it right. How many cubits long was Noah's Ark? Anybody remember the story of Noah's Ark? How many cubits long was the Ark? Was it 200 cubits, 300 cubits, or 400 cubits? According to Genesis, how many cubits long was Noah's Ark? 200? Anybody want to say 200? How about 300? Anybody want to say 300? How about 400? Anybody want to score? Ooh, you guys are a lot of work. It was 300 cubits. Listen, does anybody know approximately how long a cubit is? Anybody? Yes, sir. Take a guess. That's okay.
3 feet?
It's close. It was 18 inches. Approximately. Sometimes it was 18, sometimes it was 20, depending on who the carpenter was. But it was 8. And you know the beautiful thing about when you study about Noah's Ark and then you study about shipbuilding today, that they still use the dimensions of the Ark? You read it, someday look it up and see that they use the same dimensions of Noah's Ark in building ships today. Why? Because it was perfect. I think it was. Anyway, that's me. One more today. What kind of sound will the psalmist sing? When you're reading the psalms, and what kind of a sound, what will you sing? What kind? Would it be thankful? Would it be new songs? Or would you sing joyful songs? What kind of sounds will the psalmist sing? Will it be thankful? Anybody sing thankful songs? We got some here. How about new songs? New songs, yes. How about joyfuls? They're joyful. That's good. The answer is new songs. Every day in your heart, God gives you a revelation or something to be thankful for, you sing a new song. You don't have to write the song, but you sing a new song. And sometimes, anybody ever write music? Anybody ever write a song? You ought to try it. Sit down sometime and just try to write a little song. And it's really because you write about you, or you write about things that you see or understand or love. Write a song about baseball, right? How many like baseball, right? Go Yankees. Don't say a word. I'm the pastor. No, you know, I got Red Sox fans in here. I can't teach them anything. I was given this hat by this man from the movie, and I knew that my brother, James, where are you sitting? Because you moved over. Where are you sitting? Somewhere there. Oh, there he is. In the midst of the children. And I knew that he would understand because we are such movie buffs that we've watched, we can tell you the dialogue from Tombstone. And I laugh about it because I was at Yankee Stadium with my brother many years ago, and he caught a foul ball. As the first and only foul ball that I ever had, ever caught at Yankee Stadium. And my brother gave it to me, and I put it in my pocket. I don't know if anybody did. I was 55 years old. My knees were shaking. I was like, the ball's in my pocket. I kept reaching, making sure it was there. We got home, and he said, Larry, could I just take the ball and show the family, show my kids and my friends, and show them the ball? And I said, sure, Pete. He said, don't worry, you'll have it back. I trusted him. So I gave him the ball. That afternoon, he called me up and he said, Larry, just come get the ball. Nobody cares but you. And so that's when I saw this hat. And I said, I know other people say, oh, that's nice. But he knows the movie, so anyway, that's good. Thank you. I'm all excited. I haven't been here in 3 weeks. How's everybody doing, okay?
Yes.
Welcome to God's house. Amen. His house. We're loved. I mean, I want you just to feel relaxed. I want you to feel joy. I'm praying whatever is on your heart or your mind that you're worried about out in the world, I pray that it's gone when you get home. I pray that the things that are bothering you today will be gone. Because my God does stuff. Anybody say yes? My God does stuff like that. My favorite part. Thank you. Great job. Today's message is on James the Just. James the Just, one of Jesus' brothers. He did not believe in the beginning, by the way. Some people have a little doubt, but James didn't believe in it. And he wrote the book of James. How about that, right? And maybe one of the earliest books written, actually. It's in your Bible. But he did not use his position to his brother for personal gain. Imagine that. He was the brother of who? Jesus. But he never used it for personal gain. And good works are not the cause of salvation, but they are the results of it. Let me say that again, because I want you to stay with me. Good works are not the cause of salvation, but they are the result of it. Paul, Peter, and James were united in the core gospel message, salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. They were all together in that. And James wrote this, true faith produces good works, which is an action and a reaction. You all with me on that? So James writes in his letter, he writes, James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he starts his letter. He didn't start his letter saying, hey, Jesus is my brother, you better listen to me too. Or he didn't say, hey, Mary was my mother. No, he said, I'm a bondservant. And in the Bible, a bondservant is one who is bound to serve his master, loyalty, submission, willingly, and faithfully. He did from his heart what he did for his brother Jesus. He followed him willingly and faithfully. Amen. And that's what he said. I love him and I will serve him. We serve God out of love. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's why I do. For what he gives us always. We love him because of his blessings that come from above. The Bible says this. Listen, the Bible says every good thing and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Isn't that great? Wouldn't you want to know him better? I think you do. And he says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Imagine that. God is going to reward you when you seek him for answers, when you seek him for guidance, or when you seek him for whatever you seek him for, whatever you need him for. He will reward you for that. Is that more than we can ask? Our Father who art in heaven will reward you for seeking. Just asking him. Just trying to hear what he has to say. And James said, be a doer of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. That's pretty interesting. Be a doer of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves.
Don't fall asleep on me.
It's going to be good. He says, so then, my beloved brethren, isn't that nice? When you read James, he's going to talk about you. My beloved brethren. James calls you brethren, brothers. He said, let every man, now y'all ready, you might want to take notes and put this on your refrigerator. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Anger, fury, rage, self-seeking. And when I say righteousness, some people let it go over and say, what does that mean? Well, let me explain it. It just works against the goodness of God. Somebody say amen. Your rage and your fury and your wrath works against the goodness of God. That's all it means. It's pretty simple to say. He said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That sounds simple enough to me, amen? Swift to hear means paying attention to somebody else. Imagine that. You're swift to hear means you're paying attention to what they're saying to you. That's important. Hallelujah. Slow to speak means you take the time to hear what they're saying. Try to understand what somebody else is saying. Somebody say amen. This is important. That's what you're trying to do. Trying to understand what somebody else is saying. Why? Because it's important to them. When you tell somebody something that you're all excited about, it's important to you. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody took the time to listen to that?
I have a couple of notes here. So.
This is in the Bible. I want you to hear this. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. You ever see anybody answer a question before they hear it? Or they hear it right away and they have an answer for that? That's crazy. Because they didn't take time to think. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. A fool has no delight in understanding. He has delight in expressing his own heart. Amen? Now, we should be that way. We should, slow to speak. Hear it right away. And this is what I want to say to you. It's not that you're giving in. Amen? That's a good name. It's not that you're giving in or saying that person's right or you're wrong. It's not what it is. It's taking the time to listen to what they're saying. Maybe they are wrong. Ooh. But maybe you can wait a minute and you'll have a better answer. You see what I'm saying? See what James is saying? Take your time to answer. You might not like what the person said, but take your time. Don't let wrath get in the way. Please understand that. Wrath doesn't work for anybody. It doesn't work for you or the other person. But he said, take some time so that you can maybe have a better answer to explain. And I want to ask you, you don't have to raise your hands if you don't want, but anybody here ever been wrong before? You young men are honest, right? So if you've been wrong before, maybe you ought to wait to answer. Somebody say amen. I love that. Somebody said something that's important to them that should be important to you too. But it doesn't mean that they're right and you're wrong, or you're right and they're wrong. Just take the time to be like swift to hear and slow to speak. That's beautiful. And then James in his book, he starts a fire. He really does in his book. Some call it a contradiction. Some say it adds confusion. It came against Paul and his teaching. And here's the problem. It becomes an unfortunate debate between believers. Let me say that again. What James writes actually becomes a conversation and a different disagreement between believers. How many are believers, right? That's what he's talking about. But let me tell you what James says and how it's in perfect order. What James is telling us is in perfect order. It makes perfect sense. So remember what we just said, the two things, right? Swift to hear and slow to speak. Remember those two things. Let the wrath go. That's the thing you don't even have to think about. If you're getting that angry, you need to stop and just walk away for a minute. And if somebody's angry at you, you need to walk away. Because that wrath is going to do no good. Yelling and screaming and all that's not going to do any good. You all agree with that or not agree with that, but that's what the Bible said. Be slow to wrath because it doesn't work to the goodness of God. And we all want to do right with God. Amen. We all want to be right with God. We all want to be right and our answers be right with God. So it's in perfect order that we do that. It makes perfect sense, so remember that. And then James writes this, "What profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" Someone says he has faith but does not have works. Can faith save him? Say, wait a minute. Time out. I'm saved by faith. Yep. What faith? What faith? You might believe in God. You might believe in Jesus Christ. That he walked on the earth and that he lived. You might believe all that. But let me tell you, Satan and the demons believe that too. Amen. They believed that he was Jesus and walking on the earth. But were they saved?
No.
I'm saved because I believe Jesus Christ came and died for my sins. My faith is now completely in him, not man. I cannot be the same. This is the thing that James is getting to. My faith is in him that he came, walked on this earth, died on that cross for my sins. I believe that and I take him into my heart. You see, and James is trying to say the same thing. But I cannot be the same now. And why am I saying that? The Bible says that I'm being renewed day by day. Anybody ever hear that? You're being renewed day by day. Not hour by hour. Every day you're being renewed. And that's what's supposed to happen when Jesus steps into your heart. You're being renewed. You're not the same person. You can't be. You cannot be the same person because then you say the Bible is wrong. The Bible is lying. It said I'm being renewed day by day or I am not in the faith. That's kind of interesting. So what I'm trying to say is living faith, and what James is trying to say, is living faith renews you. Not me. It renews me too, but it renews. Living faith renews you when? Day by what?
Day
by day. And that's how it's supposed to. You're not going to know everything today. You're not going to know everything tomorrow. But you're going to be renewed day by day. You're going to have a different walk with God every day. A closer walk. A simpler walk. A beautiful walk if you're walking with him. You're not going to scream and holler. You're going to listen and you're going to be slow to speak because you want to be right. You want to show yourself just. When it said James the just, that means he was honorable. He was trustworthy. He was kind. He was giving you his heart. You could be with him. You would feel good being like being with Randy. I would go anywhere. I trust that man. And that's what James was. James the trust. The faith like that. The just. That he was justful with people. He was honest with people. You all want to be honest with people, amen? You want people to be honest with you too, right? If you wanted to sing and you couldn't sing really bad, would you let your friend sing? I hope you wouldn't. I've been in music all my life and I had people that said they wanted to sing. And they couldn't sing. So what would I do? What would I do? I've got to be truthful, right? And if I love them, I'm saying, play the guitar, play the piano, play the harp, but don't sing. Funny, but it's true, amen? You just be truthful with people, and they'll trust you. Isn't that amazing? They might not like you to tell them that they couldn't sing, but sooner or later, they're going to trust you. They're going to say, you know what? You saved me from a lot of embarrassment. You saved me from a lot of all sorts of things. And that's what he was doing. Hallelujah. I'm being renewed. I am not in faith. Living faith renews. So listen to this. Faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. It has good works with it. When you believe in God and you have faith in God and you've trusted God and you give Him your heart, all of a sudden you have different things. You're not the same. And so you have works. You have things in you that you didn't do yesterday and you didn't do the week before or the month before. It's amazing how God works in you little by little. He doesn't overwhelm you, but He does it little by little. But the faith that saves is not alone. It has good works with it. You say, I have faith. Faith to God. Faith in action. Anybody ever reach out to help somebody they didn't know? Anybody? Is it somebody? Right? Anybody ever see somebody sad and you try to lift them up, or your friends, or you try to lift them up? You see that? Not because you were asked. That's the beautiful part. Not because you were asked, but because your faith spoke out. You understand what I'm saying? Your faith spoke out. God, He's so good. He's so beautiful. The more you know about Him, the more you want to know. But your faith spoke out saying, hey, I want to help you. Hey, can I help you? Hey, what's wrong? You see, that was inside of you. That came from inside of you. That was action. That was works with your what? Faith. So faith and works. You reached out. Anybody ever forgive somebody who hurt you? Anybody? We should always forgive. But where does forgiveness come? Through faith. Why would you forgive somebody if you didn't have faith in God? He said, forgive others as he forgives you. That we read there, right? You all want God to forgive you. You know, God ended that in the Lord's Prayer. We always say on Sunday, sometimes Jesus gave it that Lord's Prayer to pray, and He added that line. You know, all the other things, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be in thy name, is wonderful, and all the good things, and I'm heaven on earth. And then He said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. If He didn't put that in, we got clean sailor. But forgiveness comes from your faith. You want to forgive others because He forgave you. It's a lot more than that, I know. And I love giving sermons and messages. I love talking about God. Can you really? Can anybody see that? I just love talking. I just love talking about the Bible. I love bringing you to different places. But it's beautiful when it starts to happen to you because of your faith. It's in your heart. You see somebody lost, you want to save them. You see somebody in despair, you want to tell them about Jesus. You want to tell them something. And I ask, well, where is this mercy coming from? Not because you're saved, because you are. It comes because of your faith. That's in your heart. So you're saved by faith, and this faith has an action. A really good action. And this is Jesus' words. This is so good. And mercy. The word mercy means compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. That's mercy. You know how many times, these beautiful children, but any times in our lives that God, if He just chose not to forgive us, where would we be? If God woke up one day and said, I'm not forgiving anybody today, where would we be? God has mercy. In other words, He forgives us every day for things that He doesn't have to forgive us for. But His word is mercy, and His word is love, and His word is compassion. And then when we become Christians, we become that. We become the mercy. I pray that you do. I pray that you become that mercy and compassion and look at others. People that you can't stand. And I know there's people in the world, we live in the world, and you see people you don't like. And I ask you to do this simple thing. Pray for them. Anybody here ever lost before? Anybody before you were saved, you were what? You were lost. And somebody prayed for you. Something happened that brought you to God. So when you see that, and you know what that does? If you look at somebody that you just can't stand and you say, I'm going to pray that God touches that person, then it's not your job anymore. You've done your job. You've asked God to touch, and then you turn and walk away. But that just relieves you of the anger. It relieves you of all that because you all got things to do today, and then you all got plans for later. So you can't hold on. If you're holding on to that anger, anybody tell me how good that's going to work? It's not. Because you're holding on to the wrath, and you're just holding on to things that God doesn't want you to hold on to. Hallelujah. Mercy, compassion, and forgiveness shown towards someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. And Jesus said this, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You want to please God? Anybody here ever want to please God? I don't know if you ever said in your heart, I want to please God. Have you ever said that, Lord? then show mercy, because that's what he wants. That's more than sacrifice, more than giving, more than anything else. It's mercy. He wants you to have that Christ in you. Faith without works. I was thirsty. I have faith that this water will quench my thirst. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you're in the desert, and you're just dying of thirst, I understand that. And I show you, because you know this water will quench your thirst. Is your thirst quenched? No. You believe this water will quench your thirst, right? Because it's water, and you're thirsty. Here it is, your faith. Your faith is full. You know that, right? But you're not. You're still thirsty. What do you got to do? You got to drink it. You have to take it, and you have to work. You have to drink it. That's faith and works together, because this water, you will die of thirst if you don't take it and drink it. Your faith is in that water. I know that water is going to work for me, but you have to do something else. That's what James is trying to say. Faith without works is dead. Action and reaction. James said, for also faith is by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. A living faith is simply real faith. That's what it is. If we believe, and that's faith, we follow through. That's works. You believe in Jesus, that's your faith. And when you believe in Jesus, you have works, because you're not the same. You can't be the same. That's, again, I'm going to tell you, you can't be the same, because the Word of God says you're being renewed day by day. And if you don't feel it, then pray, God, show me more. Say, God, come into my heart and lead me better. Because the Word of God says you're being renewed day by day. It's a living faith. We follow through. That's works. People cannot see your faith. Somebody say amen. They can't see your faith. They can't. But they can see your works because of your faith. Somebody say amen. They can see your works because of your faith. The life of faith, right? People will look at you. I know with me, I'm telling you, thank you, Lord Jesus, for where you brought me from and where you're bringing me to. But Jesus said, you can't say, or you shouldn't have to say, I'm a Christian. You should never have to say, I'm a Christian. Why? They should be able to see it in you. And if anybody knows your life, or even most of my life, or has known me for 50 years, they'll say, it wasn't. If somebody said, oh, Larry, he got faith, he believes in God, that means nothing. Until they see the new you, until they see your works, and they see your heart and your actions, that you are not the same. You see, your works can be seen. Your faith can't be seen. Somebody say amen. The whole thing is, you have faith, and you can tell people all day long, but it means nothing until they see your faith by your works, by your actions. That's why it all comes together. It's all the same. Because you have faith, you want to be better. Because you have faith, you want to draw closer to God. You want the promises of God. Who wouldn't want these promises? From day one to we see him in heaven again, amen? You want those. So you walk in faith, which means you walk in action. And people could say, I know that as a Christian, not by what he said, but what he does. That's the importance of works. They can see your works because of their faith, the life of faith. He is not the same. It was action that was clearly obvious. Then James says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Y'all get that? Remember what I said, quick to hear and slow to speak? It says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That's logical. It really is. It's perfect sense. No one should have to say, again, I am a Christian. You ever tell anybody you're a Christian? Why would you have to, right? You wouldn't have to. They should see it in you. They should understand that in you. Somebody say amen, please.
Amen.
It should be seen. And that makes sense. The greats in our Bible, anybody ever read your Bible in the book of Hebrews? There's a list of the Hall of Fame of faithful people in your Bible. And if they're in there, read Hebrews and read it. The greats of our Bible had faith, great faith. But it presented itself by their works. And I'll explain that in 1 second. I'm almost done. Thank you for listening. I just love talking about God. I really do. And I hope you all enjoy it too. It just, I think it's the way God should be presented. This word is so beautiful. And once you understand it, you want to understand more. But great faith was presented by their works. Now, Pastor Spurgeon, who I love to read, said, "The grace that does not change my life will not save my soul." I love reading stuff like that because I meditate on that. Spurgeon said, "The grace that does not change my life will not save my soul." And that's so, so beautiful. Last page, y'all. Thank you. I got my wife. You must have been talking to my wife. Anybody know how this world was formed? God created it. Anybody ever read Genesis? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, right? You're all smiling now, right? The world was not formed by faith. Hey, Jack, I didn't see you. The world was not formed by faith. Let me say it. God saw it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God had a plan for it. Say amen.
Amen.
And he knew his plan would work. That's faith. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But he had to do something else. What did he have to do? He had to speak it into existence. God, the Bible says God spoke it. His works. That was his. He had faith in everything that he was planning with his Son and the Holy Spirit. But he had to have, he had to say it. You see, even God had to, his works followed his faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Noah, anybody ever hear the story of Noah? We talked about the ark before. You know it never rained in Noah's time? It never rained. It never rained. It's like a mist every day covered the earth. A very beautiful thing that God had, a mist, and it watered the flowers and the plants and everything. It gave water to the animals. It was beautiful. It never rained. So God said to Noah, "Build me an ark, 300 cubits long." That was faith. He said, "Okay." That's faith. God says to do something, you say, "Okay, okay, that's your faith, you're going to..." But he had to do what, church? He had to build it. It took him 100 years to build the ark. Imagine what the neighbors were saying. Think about this. It never rained. And the neighbors were saying, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And he said, "God told me to build the ark, it's going to rain." Building the ark was his works. Amen? Building the ark was his works. Isn't that beautiful? And there's one more example, and I'll be all done here for y'all. Brother Abraham. He had faith in God. God said he was blessed because of his faith. He was a faithful man of God, Abraham. God told him to sacrifice his one and only son. God told him that, and he did what? He obeyed. And he walked. And his works... His work. He took the son, and then God told him, "Don't harm that boy." You see, but he followed that works. He did what God called him to do. He obeyed, and God knew that he could trust him because he followed God. But you see, Abraham's faith was great, but the works that he did caused his faith to be great. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Faith does not by itself deserve a blessing from God. But God cannot lie. He will bless those who bless others. Let me say that again. He will bless those who bless others. Your faith through works want others to be saved. I hope you do. I hope you all do that. The one thing that God has given us is to tell people about his son. That's your job, to tell people about Jesus. That's what we're called to do. All of us are called to be ministers. Tell people about Jesus a little bit. You have people that are wealthy beyond our belief who gave up their life because they didn't have Jesus. And I say that because they didn't have hope. And our hope is in Jesus. And people who are millionaires and billionaires who found out that something happened and they had no faith, but they had nothing. And they gave up their life because they didn't have that hope, that little piece of hope that we could have given them. Amen?
Amen.
If they would have received it. So it's not your faith that draws others. It's your works from your faith. Give him praise. That's your message today. I go home today and read the book of James. It will take you about 10 minutes. I promise, and you'll enjoy it. You really will. It'll be really clean, clear to understand, and it's not hard. Go home and read James. What do we got next?
Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and your endless mercy. Lord, bless us today as we eat this bread of your life's word. Let us pray that we receive all that you have sacrificed for us in your name. Jesus speaking to his elect, he took bread, he blessed it, then he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in honor of me. You say in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord's Supper is in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John doesn't have the supper. And in Matthew, then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name.
That was the president of our church, Dave Wilkinson, giving him, and Deacon Sergio, giving him a nice little prayer. The Lord's Supper is so beautiful to share together. We share like Jesus did in the Bible, and we're doing something like the Bible. Isn't that, that's a good thing. That bell just rings out for the whole valley, and we love it. Jackson, thank you for helping that. It's another nice announcement. That's pretty good. He'll remember that. For sure. We'll stand and take the offer. Oh, you know, but okay, 1 second. This is secret. I really enjoyed when you all come today. I really enjoyed my Scout Sunday with you. Thank you, sir, for your work. Thank you, sir, for your work. Thank you for your dedication. It shows when you're in service. Shows, there's your work right there. Because that's, of your faith. Yeah.
That's right, Pastor Larry. Just like, you know, the church takes a whole village of people to be successful. That's the same with scouting. We have a great number of parents and adults that have been volunteering as leaders of Cub Scout Path 3 and Boy Scout Troop 3 for many years. Like to especially recognize all of the Pack 3 Cub Scouts, boys and girls. They're sponsored currently by the Derby Methodist Church, and their Cup Master is Mr. Mark Ewan, and Assistant Cup Master Paul Torelli. There's other Cup leaders that's getting involved as well. And then we have Scouts from Troop 3 here, and we have Troop 3 leaders here, including Mr. Bill McDonald, celebrating 60th year in scouting. Mr. 60 years of dedicated service to many generations of scouts. In fact, some of our scouts here today are the sons of scouts that Mr. Bill had as a leader, and I have also helped as a leader as well, so we're really grateful for that. This church has sponsored scouting since 1914. And Scouting in America was founded in 1910, so it's just about the beginning. The history of scouting is the history of scouting here at Derby Second Congregational Church. And Troop 3 is very fortunate to be based out of this church for so many years. The first two scout pastors of this church, of this Troop 3, were Reverend Vernon Cook and Reverend Alfred Budd, both ministers of Second Congregational Church. So we're really fortunate for that. Our Scout Sundays that we've been doing date back at least until to 1918. We have a sermon from 1918 that Reverend Budd gave for the Scout Sunday. So many years we've been doing this, and so we're very fortunate, and we really appreciate the members of the Derby Second Congregational Church for allowing us to share Scout Sunday with you as we work towards our 12th point of the Scout Law. A Scout is reverent, which means a Scout has a belief in a higher being and respects the beliefs of others, and we find and make sure that we enforce that with our scouts, our boys and our girls. We also have representatives from Girls Troop, which is a new program. Troop 101 is a girls troop based out of the Huntington Congregational Church, and we have members here, and we're grateful for them to be here today as well. So, we'd like to have the Cub Master and Assistant come forward to present the Scout Sunday patches to the Pack 3 Cub Scouts. And Pastor Larry This is the Scout Sunday Pass this year. It has to do with America's 250th anniversary. It's got George Washington kneeling and praying to God, and God bless America. So I'd like to present you.
Have all the cubs, can you come up the stairs over here, and your cub master presents you your patches. You can stand here so we can take a photo, so follow Adam here. Yeah. Great, so let's hear it for these scouts. And we also would like to especially, you guys can head back down as well. I'd like to thank our chaplain's aide, Mr. Jonathan Zuckerman, who's in the back there. John, we have a pass for you. Thank you for organizing today's Scout Sunday. He has multiple roles. He's also a senior patrol leader at the troop. Yesterday, he planned a ski trip to Mohawk Mountain, so the scouts went skiing all day yesterday as well. So we really appreciate that. Thank you, John. And we'd like to thank all the other leaders and parents and all you do as well. So. Thanks again, everyone. Everyone here today, we have a patch for, and we'll hand them out at the end of the service. We'll have someone standing down there so you all get a Scout Sunday patch, all right, and there's also, Pack 3 is doing a pancake breakfast until noon at the Methodist Church. Anyone who'd like to go over, it's $10 a person, $30 for a family for pancakes, all right. Thank you, Pastor Derek. I'd like to recognize your lovely wife, Doreen, for her beautiful voice. I know you stole her from the Grand Ole Opry, and we're so fortunate to have her up here. So, Doreen, thank you. We'd like you to take the flowers home, please, on behalf of the troops. All right? Please take the flowers.
Thank you for that, Randy. Mike and I spent many years in Nashville singing with two people that you might have heard before. One was Conway Twitty, and one of them was Loretta Lynn. She sang at Twitty City for many years with Tammy Wynette and those people, Randy Travis. But now she sings with me, so one of us at one. But I'm very proud of her. Thank you for that. Thank you. We just love you all being here with us. We love our church. We have been blessed, this beautiful church right on the green in Derby, right where I grew up, a half a block from here. I was a young boy and a teenager, and I lived a half of it. I played on the green. I played in this churchyard. I had a wiffle ball and a wiffle bat, and I used to come over and play in this churchyard. And somebody kicked me out of the churchyard because I was playing wiffle ball, and it was David's father. That's how God works. He said, okay, son, I'm bringing you home. And I just love God so much. If you all don't have a church, and I know you all do, I know you all, but if somehow you want to come and visit us on a Sunday, we start at about 10:45. I get you done by noon. But I promise you one thing. I will give you the word of God that works in your life. I will give you a message that relates to your day. We've got, to me, that's the greatest gift that I can give you, is what it said in the Bible, so that we understand it. Somebody say amen. When you understand something, or when you see it finally, you know what that does? It makes you want to know more. When you hear something that relates to you, you want to say, what else is in there for me? Because God has everything for you. Jesus has it all for us, and he's got his eyes and hands on us. I believe that. Could we stand and take the offering this morning at Second Congregational? Mrs. C, if you would. Simply says to be a cheerful giver, church. Just be a cheerful giver. I tell people, don't try to impress God. Don't try to outgive him. Don't. Just be a cheerful giver, because when you give to the church, you give it to God. You're adding to your account in heaven. God sees your giving. I just want to say that again. He sees your heart and he sees your giving. Don't overwhelm him. Don't try to impress him. Just give from your heart cheerfully and know that God has blessed you with all that we have. All good things come from heaven, come from God. All the blessings you have, all the prayers you're holding on to are answered by him. And he just simply says to be a cheerful giver. To bless this church to keep the heat on, to keep the lights on. That's a, we have nobody here buying new cars or new suits or taking trips all over the world. We have people here dedicated to this building, dedicated to Jesus. Why do I ask you and invite you again to come on Sunday, any Sunday with us, and you'll take a trip through the Bible, and you'll take a trip to hear the Word of God. We preach Jesus, we love Jesus, and we want the world to know Jesus. So that's what we do here. So thank you for the givers, and may God bless you as His Word has promised, and may you receive blessings from a place you didn't even expect. That's how our God works. In Jesus' name, thank you, sir. Yes, we have fellowship now, so thank you, gentlemen. You did a remarkable job. We have fellowship downstairs, as always. We have that, and I want to say this little prayer that we read, and then I'm going to ask Zippy Johnson. We have a man here today, folks, who's 89 years old, doesn't look it, doesn't act it. Come on, Zippy. I met him at the Danbury Fair. Do you remember the Danbury Fair? When I was just 12 years old, there was a band playing as soon as you walked into the fairgrounds, and there was a man playing electric guitar and singing country western music. And I said, someday I want to do what he's doing. And I would stood there and watched him, and I would just watch him, and it was him. And God sent him to our church in Lily, all the way from New Milford, to hear every week. And what a gift to me, because he's somebody I looked at as a young man saying, look at that man playing guitar. He's still playing guitar, and he's still singing, but I can call him my friend. And we ask him on Sundays, every Sunday, to sing God Bless America. So if you all join with him, and I pray the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.
If you would, brothers.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside through the night, with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the